Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
It was a huge area, and Solomon built these cherubims so that there was two of them in there, and they stretched out their wings, and one wing tip touched that wall. The other wing tip reached halfway across and touched the wing of the second cherub, and then his far wing reached the other wall. So these two cherubs spanned the entire width of the Holy of Holies. And you've got to remember that cherubs are the angel that God's put at the east end of the Garden of Eden when he kicked Adam and Eve out, and they had a flaming sword in their hand that turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Cherubs aren't little fat naked babies. Cherubs are warrior angels. And let me just go back. Man, this really blesses me. I hope you're following this because this will really bless you and it'll help you to enter into a new living relationship with God if you can get this. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer." And so we've already dealt with those verses. Here's actually the verses I meant to read. This is Hebrews chapter 9. But those were good. There's nothing wrong with reading them. Let's look in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." In other words, they pictured divine things that were in heaven and things that had to do with our relationship directly with God, but they were an earthly sanctuary. They were just physical representations of spiritual things. In verse 2 it says, "For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary." That's what on this diagram we call the holy place. And it says, "And after that, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein were the golden pot that had manna." All of these are referring to things that happened in the old covenant. The golden censer is the one that Aaron offered incense on in Numbers chapter 16, and it stopped the plague. And they put that in there as a testimony about there was, I think, 72,000 people killed in this deal. And it was put in there to show that Moses and Aaron were the ones anointed. And it also had this golden pot that had manna in it. That was a testimony to the Israelites of the manna that they ate for 40 years in the wilderness. And it was put inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And it said, "And Aaron's rod that budded." This was a time when the children of Israel challenged Aaron's authority. And so God said, "Have every leader of every tribe take a rod and put it before the tabernacle," and they let it go overnight. And he said, "The one that buds will be the one that I've chosen." So now these are all sticks that have been cut off. They're just like a stick that we had. They were all dead, and yet they put these 12 sticks in front of God. And Aaron's, they each carved their name on it, and Aaron's rod budded and produced almonds overnight. It was a miracle. And once that happened, it quieted all of the opposition, because here was a supernatural display that God had chosen Aaron and his tribe to be the priest. And so it shut up all of the complaints. And he says, "Put this stick into the holy place and leave it there for a reminder for all generations that I've chosen the out of the Israelites, the tribe of Aaron, to be the priest." So that's what he's referring to. And in this holy place, there was the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Those are the Ten Commandments. And in verse 5 it says, "And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly." Boy, that is powerful. He listed every single thing in there. And he talked about the candlestick. He talked about the showbread. He talked about the altar of incense. He talked about the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims. But when he got to the cherubims, he says, we can't speak particularly of them. You know why? In other words, his analogy that he's using right here works for every piece of furniture in the tabernacle except the cherubims. You know why that doesn't work? Because if you go back, the cherubims were there as warrior angels to keep any person from coming into the Holy of Holies. And if you didn't enter, there was only one person that could enter, and that was the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. He had to take and offer a sacrifice, first of all, for himself. And then he offered a sacrifice for the rest of the Israelites, and he had to approach and do it exactly right. And if you didn't, you got killed. As a matter of fact, Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus chapter 10, didn't follow the proper order and didn't offer things correctly. And Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, were killed. Fire came out of the altar and burned them to a crisp. And it was right after that that the Lord says, see that the priests do not enter into the Holy of Holies at any time. You can only come one time. And I think that, I forget exactly where that's recorded. I could find it. But it was a command, and it was right after, well, it was in Leviticus chapter 12, because it was chapter 10 where they were killed. And right after that, he told them, he says, you put restrictions. They can only enter one time, and they have to go through all of these rituals. And if you didn't do it just right, you were killed, as Nadab and Abihu were. So this isn't in Scripture, but it's in Josephus, who is a first century historian. And he said that this is the way that the priest went in. They actually tied a rope around the foot of the priest when he went inside that veil and into the Holy of Holies, because if he didn't do everything just right, he could be killed as Nadab and Abihu were, and nobody could go in and get him. So they tied a rope around his leg just in case there was some sin or some failure, and if God killed him, they could just drag him out. You know what? You wouldn't have a lot of boldness going in before God if you had a rope around your foot just in case you hadn't done everything right. God was going to kill you. That might have affected the way you approach God. Amen. And so only one time a year on the Day of Atonement in the seventh month could the priest go in. And he had to do everything right or he was killed. And so here's my point. That it says that the priest entered in constantly into the holy place to do the service and to keep the candlestick going and to keep the showbread and the altar of incense going. But into the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, they only entered one time per year with fear and trembling. Now think of all of that. See, that's the picture that's being painted. And now go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. He's saying something here that is so radical to the legalistic Jewish mind that this was just like blasphemy. It was, there's no way that this could be. But he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. This was something that was foreign, totally foreign to the Jewish mindset. Nobody had boldness, and there was only one person out of millions that could even approach into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And that was only done one time a year with much fear and trembling. And yet here he is saying that we have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, by the blood of Jesus. Do you remember that in the temple, that there was a veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies? And Josephus, this first century historian, wrote, and you can read all of this over in the book of Exodus, that it was a blue curtain, and it was woven, it was thick, and it had strands of gold woven all through it, threads of gold. And because of this metal, gold that was woven through this thing, it was a solid curtain from one end to the other. And because of that, the thing was so strong that Josephus wrote that a team of horses hooked up to this curtain, pulling in both directions, couldn't split it. And remember that it was like 30 feet high. And yet, I believe it's Matthew chapter 27. Let me look this up. Matthew chapter 27, I believe, is where this is, in verse 51. When Jesus died, in Matthew chapter 27, and let's read verse 50, says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. In verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You know the significance of the veil being rent. Again, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 20, it says we, in verse 19, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 20 makes it very clear that this veil was symbolic of Jesus. Nobody could enter into the Holy of Holies without going through Jesus. And until his body was rent and broken for us, there was separation between God and man. That's what the Old Testament tabernacle was typifying. This holy place was where God met with the people. There's a number of different times in the Old Testament, like when David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem, it says that God, I'm bringing the ark of the covenant in where you dwell and where you meet with us. The ark of the covenant symbolized the word of God, and God met with the high priest once a year on that mercy seat, and this was the presence of God. The way into the presence of God was blocked as long as the veil still existed.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-152 titled Enter Boldly when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.